I searched all over. Couldn't find nobody greater. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. I climbed up to the highest mountain. Looked all around. Couldn't find nobody. Thank you, Lord. Went down into the deepest valley. Looked all around down there. Couldn't find nobody. Thank you, Jesus. Went across the deep blue sea. Couldn't find one to compare to your grace, your love, your mercy. Nobody greater than you. Yes, Lord, hallelujah. We can all sing this part. Say, I searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody. Nobody great, nobody greater, no. Nobody greater than you. Let's sing that again. Searched all over, come on. I searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody. Nobody great, nobody greater, no. Nobody greater than you. Thank you, Jesus. Nobody can heal like you can. Oh, most holy one, you are the great I am. Awesome in all your way, and mighty is your hand. You are he who carried out redemption's plan. You are he who carried out redemption's plan. Come on, search. Searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody. Come on. Nobody great, nobody greater, oh, nobody greater than you. Thank you, Lord. Come on, searched all over. I said I searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody. Nobody great, said nobody greater, no. Nobody greater than you. Hey, nobody, come on. Nobody greater. Thank you, Lord. Nobody greater, no. Nobody greater than you. Thank you, Jesus. Nobody greater, nobody greater. Whoa, nobody greater, no. Nobody greater than you. Come on, let's say that one more time. Nobody greater, nobody greater. Yes, Lord, nobody greater, nobody greater than you, yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Nobody greater. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Nobody. Thank you, Jesus.
All say hallelujah, so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I could tell everyone I owe. We thank God tonight for salvation. We thank God for Iman to be in the house of the Lord one more time. Amen. Sister Gibbs was just telling me before she came to church on the news, they had an active shooting in Philadelphia. Six policemen were shot and killed trying to serve someone. They weren't all, but they all shot. All right, six policemen were shot. They said they were calling SWAT team and everybody else in, amen. So we're living in a very dangerous time, and we pray for those family, whoever's involved, and we just pray that God intervenes as a whole, amen, amen. We do thank God tonight. How many are glad you're saved? Amen. We ought to be glad we're saved. Because if we're saved, we have a protector, we have a shield all about us. We have a God that is a keeper, amen. So we do bless the Lord. We thank God tonight for my wife. We thank God for all of you being here tonight. Amen. What better place to be than in the house of the Lord? Amen. Last night we were at New Jerusalem with Pastor Harper and Pastor Mari Edward preached. He really preached a powerful message. And it sort of ties in with our Bible class on Stop Worrying. He said, we all have issues, but we need to take our issues to the Lord and leave them there. How many know we got issues? So when we take them there, we got to leave them. We can't take them and bring them back. Amen. So we just thank God tonight. We thank God that we were there to hear that word. We all have issues. Amen. We want to continue to pray for Sister Billingsley. In spite of the doctor's prognosis, amen, we know that God is able. Elder Mackey, you know God is able. Elder Gibbs, know God is able. Amen. They don't mean no harm, but they're limited. But she did tell the doctor, she said, well, I thank you, doctor. She said, but I'm trusting in the doctor that's above you, right? A chief doctor, something like that. I heard it. She said, I'm trusting in the doctor above. He said, that's good. And then at the end, he said, now who's that doctor that's above me? She said, Jesus. Amen. That's what she's trusting in. And that's what we all have to trust in, especially in this day and time that we're living in. Amen. So we want to continue to keep her in prayer. Let's pray one for another. Amen. These are praying times. Just a reminder also, tonight, Pastor Harper is speaking at Church of Jesus Christ, where they have a service tomorrow night, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Amen. I'm not sure who all the speakers are, but they do have those, if anyone's available, those evenings to go over to support them because they did support us. And they have a 2 o'clock Bible class, I think it is, every day as well with Bishop Bellamy. I never heard him preach, but Pastor Harper said he's an outstanding teacher. Amen. So those that are available, Shalico called last night and said they are installing him or ordaining him as a pastor again on Saturday at 12 o'clock in Stroudsburg, PA. So we'll see who's able to make that. Bible Way, the Apostolic Church. So they are installing him. Amen. So we made those announcements. Amen. All right, let us stand for our scripture reading. Now, we know we're doing part 2 of what we finished off last week. Amen. Part 2 of Stop Worrying Yourselves to Death. Amen. And what Pastor Mari was saying last night, if we trust God, why do we worry? If we have issues and we give them to God, why do we worry? In spite of what the outcome may appear to be, we serve a God that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Amen? But you have to trust him. So we're going to read from 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. I know you don't have these, but it would be on the screen. Amen? Now we know Peter is not writing to the saints. He's writing to leadership. All right, so remember this as we read this. He's telling leadership because how many know leaders have a tendency to worry? But even leaders have to cast their cares upon God. Amen? The elders, verse 1, which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd, hallelujah, how many looking for the chief shepherd? And I don't care what the pastors are, we just under shepherds. He said, but when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves to the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Who's he writing to? Leadership. Amen. He said there's a mindset that we have to have. Amen. He goes on to say, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God that he may. Now, verse 7 is a continuation of verse 6. So after you humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, he will exalt you. Now, when God is blessing you, don't you get so proud and high-minded. He said, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. And the church said, the word of the Lord is blessed already. Amen. And you may be seated. So he was writing to leadership saying, listen, I know there are many needs that in church. Paul, when he was writing, he said, I have all the cares of the church upon my shoulders. Amen. But nevertheless, his confidence or trust was in God. So tonight we're going to finish. I know our slide, if you all find 1 Peter 5:7, that's where we're going to start. I don't know if you're aware it's on your notes. I know on my notes it's page 15, but page 6? All right, page 6 for you all, 1 Peter 5:7. So once again, now we're dealing with cares, which are worries, they are anxieties. And last week, we know Jesus addressed the issue of cares and anxieties. He said, which of you by taking thought, in other words, which of you by worrying, can add one cubit to your stature? He said, why do you worry? And Zoe was looking at the cartoon that was on the thing. She said, Grandpa, what's that cartoon all about? It shows the, you know, if those that saw it, I don't know, can you find that? Mia, I don't know if you can get it, but it showed on Sunday. I don't know, most of y'all don't read the cartoons, but the little kids do, but it shows a guy that's sitting there. Can you find that one, Mia? Pull that one up for me right quick. I didn't even pay no attention myself to Zoe. He said, Grandpa, what's that all about? So it says, trust in God and stop what? Worrying about it. So you see this guy, he got all of his bills, his calculator, his pencil, trying to figure stuff out. It says worries, expenses, anxieties, bills, and debt. How many know that's most of our concerns right there? So the one bird says, what's eating him? The other one said, I guess God doesn't take care of him like he does us. Amen. Because Jesus says what? Behold, he said, consider the birds. Right. So if God takes care of the birds, he said, won't he take care of you? Right? We're much more valuable than sparrows. So we have to have enough confidence and trust in God to know that whatever the situation is, God, how many know God is in control? So your worrying won't change what God has in control. It's still going to take place. So we might as well let God have it. Amen? So 1 Peter 5:7 said, casting what? All your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Now, I was reading something from one of the Jewish rabbis. He said what he's noticed is that people will give God their big problems, but they like to handle their little problems themselves. But what did Peter tell us to do? Cast what? That's your big problems, your little problems. Even those problems you think you can have, give them to God. Amen. Because he will work them out. Amen. Peter uses the Greek word melei, for he careth. Melei is really an unusual word which is only used one time in scriptures, and that's here in 1 Peter 5:7. The translation, he cared for you, isn't quite what this word means. The word means to be an object of concern. In other words, God is, he's like studying us like under a magnifying glass. You know, when you remember doing the test tubes and stuff, and you have the microscope, and you study stuff down to the finest detail in school? Well, this is what this means. He cared for me. God is concerned about every detail. Down to the minutest part of us, God careth, amen? We are the objects of God's concern. In other words, God is watching us. He has an eye on everything that we do, and he's very concerned about us. It isn't that he just cares about the general state of our humanity, of our living. His concern is focused on the whole of us. That's why we have to give him all. Because God is not just concerned with the big stuff that we can't handle. God said, I'm concerned with everything. Amen. If you have a concern about your residence, give it to him. Amen. If you have a concern about a relationship, give it to him. A lot of times we say, well, God, I'm not really worthy to give you this. You can't fix it, so you might as well give it to him. Amen. The scripture said, trust in the Lord with what? All your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways, you got to give it to him. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will do what? Direct thy path. But it starts with trust. It starts with, as we read in Peter, a mindset to be humble and a mindset to be of humility, not to be proud, amen, and think of what you can do on your own. This is all about God. And how many of us being saved tonight is not about us, but it's all about God, amen? His concern is focused on the whole of us, which is spirit, soul, and body. And that's 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of what? The first thing he acknowledged. He said, you want some peace? You got to go to the God of peace. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Amen. We are the object of his concern. So he said, you know what? He will set you apart because you are holy. Amen. And I pray, God, your whole what? Spirit and soul and God, listen, God said, I'm concerned with all of you. Amen. A lot of times we just concerned with the body. God said, I'm going further than that. I want spirit. I want the soul. I want the part of you that's going to live forever sometime. I'm concerned about that. Spirit, soul, and your body. Amen. Be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And our reference scripture is Psalms 4:3. Now we know this is when David writes this as he's fleeing from Absalom. Amen. Can you imagine the mindset? You're in trouble and you're being hunted like an animal. But David said, but know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for who? For himself. So if we live godly, God says, you're the object of my concern and I set you apart. So though the enemy may come against you, he can't do anything. His weapons won't prosper because I've set you apart. And in setting us apart, God sets a hedge about us. Can we say hallelujah? The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Why? Because he set me apart and I'm living godly. Amen. So sometimes we wonder, does God hear my prayer? Live godly. You have the assurance from God that he hears your prayer. Amen. In fact, God cares for you and me is demonstrated in the ultimate sacrifice. The ultimate sacrifice is that he what? Died for us. The God who is willing to go to those lengths to redeem you and me is not about to abandon us after he has paid the price to bring us back. So God had to redeem us, right? Because we were in the hands of the devil. He had to purchase us back. Amen. Because who's the God of this world? Satan is. So God had to redeem us. Do you think that God would go through all of that suffering, all of that on the cross, all that being mocked and beat to the point that he was unrecognizable for him to not think about us now? So God loved us so much that he died. Do you think after it's like somebody pays $10 million to get you free. You think they're going to let you go back into bondage or captivity? No. So God paid the ultimate price for you and I. So don't allow our trials and circumstances to make us think that God has abandoned us, because he will never abandon us. Amen? As the object of his concern, every tiny, can we say tiny? Every tiny detail of our lives come to his watchful and gentle hand. Every tiny detail. Amen. God is so concerned about us, he's taking care of things that we don't even know that's coming our way. We've been in a situation that we don't even know what was going on about us. The devil had a desire to take us out. And God was so concerned, he maneuvered us away from danger and trouble. What a mighty God we serve. Peter reinforces this important point by contrasting our cares, which are worries, anxiety over the things of this world, with God's care. Our cares are merimna, those things that bring about mental and emotional disruption. Amen. You ever get a call and you're so fine and all of a sudden you can't even hardly walk or think straight? That mental or emotional distress, those anxieties, those worries. Amen. What changed? God is still the same. He said, bring all of your problems to me. Cast all of them on me. All right? Merimna is internal division, like driving a car with one foot on the gas and one foot on the brakes. You don't go anywhere. And you know what else happens when you're a two-foot driver? You burn your brakes out. That's not in here. Right? Two-foot drivers burn your brakes out. Amen. I've seen many of them. And for the sake of not incriminating any, I'm not going to bring someone I've seen recently. But I was riding with someone. I said, you burn your brakes out a lot. They said, how do you know? I said, because you're driving with 2 feet. A two-foot driver just burn your brakes. You know why? Because your car is constantly in this motion, right? So merimna is like this. You're driving with 2 feet. You're not going anywhere. You know, merimna is like this. You ever get in a rocking chair and rock 100 miles per hour? Where do you go? Nowhere. So when we worry, it's like being in a rocking chair, just rocking yourself to death. You don't go anywhere. Well, worry or cares are like that. It's like driving with a foot on the gas and a foot on the brake at the same time. Guess where you go? So if we don't go anywhere, why do we do it? Think about that. Amen? If we don't go anywhere, why do we do it? Merimna is internal division, like driving a car with one foot on the gas. All right, we did that one, all right. You don't go anywhere. Merimna can best be defined as being double soul and two souls, a double-minded. We know from Scripture that a double-minded man shouldn't expect to receive any. So when you're worried, you're double-souled or double-minded. And the Scripture said, let not, well, let's go ahead. Let's read James 1, 6 to 8. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is. So when you're worried, you're double-souled, you're double-minded. Amen. You're going in separate directions. You're pulling yourself apart, and then you figure at the end, you say, Lord, why isn't things changing? Because they say you can't receive anything of the Lord as long as you're double-minded or you're being torn apart. So merimna means you're split. You have a split personality. One side of you believe God can, another side of you say God can't. So that kind of person can't receive anything of the Lord. Amen? Double-minded is disputios, which is an odd word, which means two souls or two psyches. James uses it only 2 times, here in James 1:8 and also in James 4:8, when he says, draw nigh unto God and he will. So now listen, he said, listen, how many want to just be good, close to God? I believe Psalm 73, I forget which verse it is, around verse 12 or 13, said it is good for us to draw near to God. It is good to draw near to God. So draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and do what? Ye double-minded. So when we are two-souled or double-minded or being occupied by worry, we have a split personality. Can you imagine having a spiritually split personality? One minute you believe God can, and the next minute you say God can't. Amen? Disputios has a synonym that helps us to understand what is being implied. That synonym is diokrinestes. Why does this help us? Because this word shows us that doubt, all right, a questioning, a not believing God is not about intellectual decision or reflection. It's about a failure to act. Amen. If we believe God, we should act. Faith is in what kind of word? action word. If you have faith and trust in God, then you should act. But faith without works is dead. All right? So the spiritual said, listen, you're talking God, but you're not doing anything. It's not about your mental capacity. It's not about what you're thinking mentally, but do something. Listen, even if you do something, if it's wrong, don't you know God loves us so much that he'll take the crooked thing and make it straight? So he said, you have to do something. My wife had that challenge years ago, the what? The do something challenge. We need to implement that again because everybody in church needs to do something. I was watching Bishop Clifton Jones. He was teaching a message on ministry. And he said, everybody that gets saved, God didn't call you to do nothing. Everybody that got saved, God didn't call you to do nothing. God called all of us to do something. And we don't all have to do the same thing. So if you're saved tonight, then the question you're going to ask, coming to church is for you. All right? Coming to prayer, that's for you. God called you to do something. To do what? To help build up the kingdom of God. So the question tonight, God has called us, God has saved us. Now on the flip side, what are we doing now that God has called us? Are we just in church? Amen. Are we just occupying the pews? Yes, I pay my tithes, I pay my offering. God has a calling. A calling means God has something for all of us to do. Amen. After we get saved, you receive power to be what? Witnesses. Every last one of us that got the Holy Ghost should be witnessing for the Lord on a daily basis. Amen? All right, let me get this. It's like coming, the root of this word is about a turning point where a needed action is required. It's like coming to a fork in the road, and when you trust God, just keep going. You know, a lot of times people say, I trust God, but then when things get bad, they back up. God won't let you down. If you trust God in the beginning, keep trusting him. If you have faith in the God, keep having faith. Amen? Don't hesitate. Don't stop. Don't procrastinate. Keep going. Not because you don't know which way to go, but because you are tempted to take the other path, even when you know it will lead away from what God has called you to do. You know, and unfortunately, we're living in a time, I was reading an article the other day about all the divorce and all the stuff that's gone wrong in church because people are so self-preoccupied. They're so selfish, amen, that they fail to realize when we get married, the Bible says you're no longer two, but you become one. And one of the ministers said the reason there are so many divorces is because when people get married, they're so selfish, they still stay separated. They still stay two, and they never become one. Amen. I would show you something, but I don't want to get off track now. We ought to always be one. What James tells us has nothing to do with mental confusion or disturbance. We all experience that. Even Elijah, David, Paul, and Peter encountered times of rational indecision. You got to remember, every patriarch, even Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, they had times of trouble. They didn't know what exactly to do, but guess what? They did something. Amen? The kind of doubt James excels is the refusal to act based on God's word. And I wonder, you know, this is our personal application. Is our life been driven by God's word? Are we full of doubt and skepticism? Amen. If you're full of doubt and skepticism, then you're not casting all your cares on him. Amen. I read another article. I forget the word they use for cast it. But when you cast, they said, this is what casting is. Anybody ever throw a rock so hard? Anything so hard? A rock, a ball, or something so hard? This is what casting is. It's that you throw it so hard, there's no way you can retrieve it. Amen? Well, that's what we're supposed to do with all of our cares. We're supposed to cast them. And I believe it said the word means to cast or do it forcibly. So we're supposed to not just give God our cares. We're supposed to do what? Forcibly give them to God. And guess what? God is so big that he can handle every last one of our cares at the same time. So you have to forcibly give it to him. Amen. Don't allow those cares to sneak back up on you. Amen. So it said we don't really have trust or confidence in God's word when we don't act. Amen. It is doubting God, not about human understanding. God reveals his pathway, but I hesitate. I say to myself, can I trust God? Amen. Just think, when God speaks, how many of us hesitate because we don't feel like we can really trust God? If we can't trust God, guess what? We can't trust anybody. So we have to live in God's word. We have to trust God's word. Does God speak the truth? How do I know I can trust him? Does he really care for me? That is what dispute shows, double soul, double mind, it is really about. Dispute shows leads immediately to failure to step forward to trust God's character. Dispute shows eventually leads to sin, as James tells us. Therefore, to him that what? Knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is. To him, it is sin. So if you know you should trust God and act on God's word and you do the opposite, that's not doing right. Sin is missing the mark. It's missing what God is having us to do. All right? So it says, if you know what to do and you don't do it intentionally, that's sin. Because that is rebellion. That's going against God. Amen? The synonym is used in James 2:4 in a most disturbing way. This kind of double-mindedness shows itself when we stand before the Lord claiming to be his follower, yet at the same time we despise the poor, act according to the standards of the world, and not according to the promise that God has given the poor. When we do not act on God's truth, we doubt his word. Amen? Now back to worry or anxiety. Anxiety fragments us. Amen. Can you imagine you going two separate ways, your body? This is what anxiety does. It splits you up. It fragments you. So you wind up going two different directions. Amen. It breaks up the peace within and creates instability, worry, and fear. Anxiety. God cares. God's care does exactly the opposite. Notice that as long as we try to manage and fix the issues, even those little issues of our life by serving mammon rather than God, that we are subject to the chaos and confusion of this broken world system. And remember, mammon represents this loyalty or not being loyal to God. That's what mammon is all about. Are you loyal to God or are you not? Amen. Do you live under the authority of God or under the authority of something else? So mammon represents any authority that's not God's authority. So when we doubt, when we have anxiety, we're doubting God's authority. And we tell, you know what doubt is like, or having anxiety is like telling God, my problem is too big and you can't handle it. That's what anxiety is all about. Amen. The answer is that we are trying to serve God according to the standards of the world, mammon, instead of serving, work and worship him with a transformed mind. We all know Romans 12:1-2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? So when you're conforming to the world, you're living by the authority of mammon. Do we understand that? When you're living according to the standards of the world, you're living under the authority of mammon. And remember Jesus in representing, he said, you cannot serve two masters. You cannot live under the authority of mammon and under the authority of God at the same time. Amen? That's what it is when you're serving two masters. So our minds have to be transformed that ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Jesus said you can't serve two masters. When we submit and surrender to God, then we are empowered by his Spirit of the Holy Ghost, And it makes us, Bishop said, it makes us unstoppable. Amen. When we submit and surrender to God, it makes us make us conquerors, even over our anxieties. So the question is this: if God empowers us, and we know that God has all power, why do we allow our anxieties to completely immobilize us? Why do we allow our anxiety to cause us to be stagnant in Christ? Amen. We won't pray. We won't testify. We won't do anything for God because of anxiety. You got to cast those aside. Amen. Because the Bible says, as long as we have Christ in us, who is the hope of glory, we should be more than conquerors. Romans 8:37 says, nay, and what? What things? All these, whatever is coming against you. In all these things, the Bible said, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We will find the peace that the world system can't give us when we completely, what? We find peace the world can't give us when we completely surrender to who? Not to mammon, not to anything that's opposing God. As long as we are alive in these bodies, there's going to be an opposition to God. Why? Because of the adversary called Satan. He's constantly going to bombard us, trying to get us to turn our backs on God. There's none of us that can get so spiritually and so mighty high in God that the devil don't still work against us. Why? He's trying to get us to deny God. Amen? So it says, John 14:27, this is what Jesus said. Peace I leave with who? With you. He said, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be. This afraid means full of anxiety, full of trouble. All right. So Jesus said, I'm going to give you peace, which is God serving God. The world can't give you peace, which is serving mammon. So the question tonight, do you want peace? Then we should serve God and not mammon. Amen. John 16:33 reads, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. Now, you know one of the most important things about Jesus when he's speaking? The Bible said, faith cometh by. Every time we hear God's word, it should increase our faith. Amen. We should never come out of church after hearing God's word, whether it's here or anywhere else, and leave in doubt. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when Jesus is speaking, our faith should be at its elevated high. It should be at a super high. He says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me, not in the world, you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of what? Good cheer. I have overcome the world. This is the kind of peace that brings harmony and order. Anxiety and worry bring disharmony and disorder. Right? So the peace God gives us brings harmony and order. When we're full of anxiety and worry, you have disharmony and disorder. You have no peace. Even when things are going well, you don't have peace because you're torn on the inside. And if we can ever picture this, you are split in your personality when you're trusting the world system and God. That's why the Bible says, come out from among them and be ye what? As long as we deal with the system of the world, we're going to have turmoil. We're going to have torment. Amen? Isaiah 26:3-4 reads, thou wilt keep him in whose mind is what? But my question is, why do we always stop there when that's not the end of the verse? Right? God will keep you in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. But then there's a clause that states why? Because. Because what? You trust in thee. So God will keep you in perfect peace if your mind is stayed on him, which is his word, because you trust. So the thing is this, if you don't trust God, you have no peace. Amen? I don't care how much of the Bible you know. Amen? I don't care how much you fast and pray. If you don't trust God, you don't have peace. Because how can you have peace without trusting in him? And the fourth verse says, trust in the Lord when you feel like it. How are we to trust him? For in the Lord Jehovah is your strength comes from God. Not by might, nor by power, but what? By his spirit, by my spirit, saith the Lord. If we want peace in our lives, we need to change our way of thinking from trusting in the world, which is self-sufficiency, to trusting in the Lord forever. The world tells us, take care of number one. You have to provide for yourself. That's self-sufficiency. Amen. But God tells us not to trust in self-sufficiency. Amen. Mia, can you pull up? I just want to go over scripture. Go pick up, I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 8. All right. I thought I put it in here. Let me see something right quick. Give me 1 minute. I just got a 5. I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 2, I think. Hold on. Is it in here? It's on page 11. Oh, it's backwards. Okay. Page 11 for you. All right. I'm going to give you all the, I don't feel like looking it up in mine since I want to go forward and don't want to go backwards. Let me just give you this. Can you read it for me, whatever it is? All right. It's what is it? Is it 1 Corinthians 8, 2?
8, 2, yeah.
Okay. It says, if any man thinks that he knoweth anything, he knoweth it not yet as he what? Ought to know. Let's keep going. Verse 3. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. Verse 4. And concerning thereof the things, therefore the eating of things, go to the next phrase. I don't want to do this. Go to verse 5. Go to verse 6. Verse 7. Verse 8. This might be the right one. This is right. Go to verse 9. Verse 10. All right, that's not it. But I know it's, you know where it's at? I know where it's at. Hold up. Give me 1 second. I think it's in here. So y'all read it, right? Hold on 1 second. I think it's in here. I know I put it somewhere. I should have put it somewhere, whether I did or didn't. I don't know. All right, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 4. I knew it was in something. It says, and such trust have we through Christ Godward, verse 5, not that we're not sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of our sufficiency is of who? Now go to verse 7. No, skip down to verse 7. I just want to go to verse 7. It said, but if the, no, go to verse 8. It might be verse 10. I know it's what I was. It ain't there either. That's all right. We keep going. But what it said we have to trust God. That's what it's all about. Amen? All right, so we went on a little detour, but let's keep going. All right. Then the care perpetually and continuously, then the care that God always had for us will begin to be manifest in our lives over worries. Attempting to achieve the peace and harmony that only comes from God through a personal effort only produces what? Chaos and anxiety. So when we try to do what God has to do, we create chaos and anxiety. How many know there's some things in our lives that we can't fix that nobody else can fix? Only God can fix it. So when we try to let man do what God has to do, we run into trouble. Nothing but chaos, nothing but anxiety. The way to perfect peace is to what? What kind of surrender, though? Total surrender. Are y'all still, I don't know, y'all got it? All right. So the way to perfect peace is total surrender to God, as can be seen in the account of David fleeing from his own son Absalom, who was trying to kill him. So Psalm 3 and 4 deals with David fleeing from Absalom. And how many know David was just fleeing. Absalom was hot on his trail, and if it had not been for them taking the advice of someone else, Absalom would have got to the point where he would have killed David. But Absalom forsook the counsel of Ahithophel, and the Bible said because Ahithophel spoke it, so his words were right from the mouth of God. And Ahithophel hung himself because Absalom did not take his counsel, because he said, listen, your father's weary. If we go out there right now, we're overtaken. But I think it was Hushan and some of the others said, no, you know how your father is. He's too smart for that. Amen. So that's just a little fill in. All right. So David is fleeing, and now he writes this psalm as he's in trouble. He said, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many that be which say to my soul, there is no help for him in God. Now David said, now you got to pause for a minute and think about that. All right. People say there's no help for you in God. Guess what? There is help in God. We went over on Psalm 42 on Sunday. Two of those verses, I think it's verse 4 and verse 10, when they were mocking David, they said, where is thy God? God is there. We just have to trust him, amen? But thou, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. He's fleeing from his own son, but he still has a relationship with God. Even in distress and turmoil, his confidence is in God. I laid me down and... Wait a minute. Your son is trying to kill you. When you have confidence in God and trust God, even in the midst of trouble, you can lay down and sleep. Why? He says, it's vain for you to rise up early, to stay up late and eat the bread of sorrow, for he giveth his beloved rest, which is sleep. So what David embodies is even in the midst of trouble, David has rest. Amen? I would not be afraid of 10,000 of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all my enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation or deliverance belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon me, Selah. So three times in this scripture, David takes a pause, just a reflection moment. Amen. Just to encourage himself. That's why we read in, I believe, 1 Samuel 30th chapter, the 5th verse, it said David had to do what? Encourage himself. David learned through trusting God, I don't need you to encourage me. Even when his men spake of stoning him, the Bible said David took strength and courage, and he encouraged himself in the Lord. Psalm 4 Verse 3. Now, this is a continuation of him being pursued by Absalom. Verse 3 reads, but know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly. For now, David realized, did David have problems? Yes. David has sinned, but David repented. And God restored unto him the joy of God's salvation. So David is then encouraged. He said, for the Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. You know what he's saying? Even in trouble, get it in your heart. Right? Let your heart commune. You know what you're doing? You're speaking spiritual strength to yourself in your heart. Lord, I don't know how, I don't know when, but one thing I know for sure, God will fix it. How many know he'll fix it? You got to trust him and believe that he will fix it. He said, even in the midst of my hardship, I'm going to offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There'll be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart. What is David doing? He's fleeing, but he still has it in his heart. When we get God's word in our heart in the midst of trouble, it'll still be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. That's why we got to get it in our heart, amen? He said, thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increase. Now, this is David. We already read in the third chapter, he said he both laid him down and slept. Even in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of hardship, he still says, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only maketh me to dwell in safety. You know what David is saying? My whole trust and confidence is in God. So even in the midst of trouble, I can lay down and sleep. I still have peace. Amen. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord. What? Always and again, I say rejoice. Even in hardship, even in a very deplorable, unfavorable position that Paul was in prison, he said, I'm still going to rejoice. How many of us are free and can't rejoice? Think about that. We have the freedom to do it and go as we please, and we can't rejoice. Why? Because we have a split personality. One of us, side of us believe God, and the other side don't believe God. One side trusts God, the other side don't trust God. So you have no peace. So when you don't have peace, how many know you can't rejoice? In order for you to have joy, your mind has to be stayed on the Lord. He will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Listen, don't worry. Don't be full of anxiety for what? Listen, nothing. What's nothing? Everything. All right, right. So you can't have worry and anxiety for nothing. So tonight, what are you worrying about? What are you having anxiety about when the Bible said don't have anxiety for what? Nothing. He says but in everything by prayer and supplication. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you some rest. He said, don't have anxiety and worry for nothing, but in, can we say everything? The little things, the big thing, in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, when you give God your worries and anxiety, listen to what he says in verse 7. And the what? Peace of God, which passes, when you just give it to God, you don't understand it. Somebody said, how do you have peace with what you're going through? Because I trust in him. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. Paul explains how to rejoice in spite of our circumstances in verse 8, where he plainly states that we must control how we think. So in order for you to have peace of mind, and in order for you to trust God, you have to control how you think. Amen? Paul encourages us to think in a godly manner, regardless to our present circumstances. Amen? You ever see somebody go through stuff and they act so ungodly? That's not God's way. So even when you're in an unfavorable position, where's Paul at? In prison. But Paul did not allow prison to change the way he thinks. My question, how do we go through stuff we allowed always to change us? Oh, God, I'm so unworthy. I don't even know if I want to be in church. I don't even know if I want to be saved. Listen, God died for you. You ought to be praising him. You need to have a reflection moment to think of what God has brought you from instead of having one of those woe is me experiences. Amen? So Paul said we have to think godless regardless to our present circumstances. You know what godly is? Lord, I know you're going to make a way some kind of way. I don't know how, but I know you will make a way. As he wrote these words of encouragement from prison, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are what? True. Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any, listen, if it ain't no virtue, if it's going to go back to God, if there be any praise, he says what? Think on these things. And then it says in the next verse, and the peace of God, and the God of peace shall be with you. But it's very imperative that we control what we think and what? How we think. We must spiritually develop a new way of thinking, as we stated earlier. Our personal thinking and opinions rivals God's way of thinking, as can be seen, as we read in 1 Corinthians 8:2, Proverbs 14:12 and Proverbs 16:25, they read, which we see down a little further, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of what? Death. But 1 Corinthians 8:2 said, if any man think is the Greek word dokeo, means to form an opinion, a personal judgment. Right, so when we think and we're forming an opinion based on our personal judgment, he said, if you do that, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. All right, so when we think too much, there's a way that seemeth right, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We must change our way of thinking to think as God's word teaches. If we want to have peace of mind, a worried mind is a troubled mind. A worried mind is a what? That just doesn't believe God. So when you're a worried mind, you don't believe God. Jesus gives us the best remedy for worry in John 14:1, where he says, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Trouble is the Greek word tarasso, which means anxious, distress, to put in motion, to agitate back and forth, shake to and forth, setting in motion what needs to remain still at ease. To trouble means to agitate, causing inner perplexity. This is what this trouble means, inner perplexity. Emotional agitation because of being too stirred up inside, which means you're upset. The Navajos speak of worry as, my mind is killing me. Right? That's what the Navajo Indians say. When you worry, that means my mind is killing me. Mankind is sick and dying from worry. We are slowly killing ourselves by worrying ourselves to death. I'm going to reference an article from WebMD about the known facts about worrying. Are you an excessive worrier? Perhaps you unconsciously think that if you worry enough, you can prevent bad things from happening. But the fact is, worrying can affect your body in ways that may surprise you. When worrying becomes excessive, it can lead to feelings of high anxiety and even cause you to be physically ill. What happened with excessive worrying? Worrying is feeling uneasy or being overly concerned about a situation or problem. This is their article now. With excessive worrying, your mind and body go into overdrive as you constantly focus on what might happen. Remember John Mason in his book called Average said, worry is interest paid only long in advance that you do not yet owe. That's what worrying is, when you're paying on something that you don't even owe. In the midst of excessive worrying, you may suffer with high anxiety, even panic, during waking hours. Many chronic worriers tell of feeling a sense of impending doom or unrealistic fears that only increase their worries. Ultra-sensitive to their environment and to the criticism of others, excessive worriers may see anything and anyone as a potential threat. Chronic worrying can affect your daily life so much that it may interfere with your appetite, lifestyle habits, relationship, sleep, and job performance. Many people who worry excessively are so anxiety-ridden that they seek relief in harmful lifestyle habits such as overeating, cigarette smoking, using alcohol and drugs, or any addiction. Worry, worry, worry. To worry is to trust in your own mind. Trusting in your own mind is a death trap. Proverbs 3:5-7 says, God's instructions to help us overcome worry is to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Can the church say amen? So all of that tonight, I know it takes effort. But if you trust God, don't worry. If you worry, then you don't trust God. So we have to take all of our situations to God and do what? Lead them there. He said cast. It means to forcibly throw every concern that you have upon God. And how many know there's no concern that we have that's too big for God to handle? Can we say amen? So do we have any comments, any questions? Amen. Somebody says it's plain and simple. What's the essence? Trust him. Even in hardship, trust him. Even when things aren't going well, do what? Trust him. Amen. When you trust God, you will always act on God's word. Whenever we hesitate or procrastinate, or when we don't act immediately on God's word, that shows a lack of trust. Amen? All right, if we have no questions or comments, do we have anyone that needs prayer? Anyone that needs prayer, can we come forward at this time? Let's trust him. Amen. Bring all your burdens to the Lord and do what? Leave them there. After God blesses you, don't pick them back up, but just leave them there. Amen? Let us trust him with all of our heart and lean not to our own understanding.